Good morning, everyone. It's 8:30 a.m. As you might have noticed, we will start on time, we will end on time. Well, we might end early, but we won't end late, and we won't start late, and we won't start early. Got it. Thank you. Do we have Zoom and stream and all of our other friends? I've been asked to remind the Zoom attendees, if you wish to speak at a time when we are inviting speakers or you need something, just raise your Zoom hand and Clive will let me know that you have indicated a wish to speak. Okay, we have quite a lot of housekeeping this morning. So I have been asked to deliver the health and safety briefing. So here it is. It's page 17. I wonder what came before it. Emergency evacuation. In the case of an emergency evacuation, an alarm will sound. Please follow the directions of our staff, who will direct guests to the appropriate exits. There are two exits in Aucklander, one through entry point and one to the side behind the presenter's lectern. Please do not use lifts when evacuation is in process. Guests will be guided to the nearest assembly point, either at the forefront of the hotel, lobby car park, or the Vincent Street entrance. Restrooms and toilets. The nearest restrooms are located off the main lobby. As you are exiting Aucklander, turn right. Men's restrooms are located to the left, women's restrooms to the right. Smoking area. Smoking is prohibited inside the hotel. The allocated smoking area is located on our atrium lounge deck off level one. First aid. If the circumstance arises that a guest requires first aid, please advise our staff for assistance. First aid kits are located in our lobby reception and each of our food and beverage outlets. There, that's the health and safety briefing for the morning. I will now recognize Maria, please, for some information.
Number one, boss. So the first thing is the morning tea for today will be assorted cookies for people who need to know. And the next item is if people can let me know about the Maritime Museum by lunchtime today. I've got about 18, 19 names so far, and I will read those through at lunchtime just in case I might have missed someone. And to remind you that out of Aucklanders is $39. Thank you.
What did you say morning tea was?
Assorted cookies.
Assorted cookies. I didn't think you used that word.
Oh. That's what they told me it was.
Well, does it mean something different? Because I thought you called cookies biscuits.
Means the same thing.
Oh. Yeah, you're getting more. You know, every time I come to New Zealand, they use more and more American words.
We know.
It's really good. It's disappointing.
Chair, yeah. Judy?
Yes, sir.
Paul Brown here from New Zealand. Some of you will know that later on this week in the programme, we've got Brad Cohen coming to demonstrate and talk about Braille surtitles at the Opera. I sent some information to be included in the programme that looks like it didn't make it, which is either my fault or Maria's. We'll fight about that later, given that I've got the split personality of being Maria at the odd time anyway. But if people are interested, so the opera, the audio described event with the Braille surtitles is on Saturday, but people at this conference, if they're around still, can go on Thursday night to the audio described dry run where the Braille surtitles will be tested for the first time and stuff. So if people are interested, if they see me, I will also try and find the details that I sent to Maria and maybe get them circulated. But if people want to see me, if they're up for the opera on Thursday night with the first trial ever of Braille surtitles. It's amazing. When they're set up properly, your Braille display connected to your phone or into the Wi-Fi will just move along itself when they sing a new line. It's quite, I don't know, I found it quite a profound experience. So give me a shout if you're interested.
Thank you, Paul. Christo, I recognize you for an announcement.
Thank you. Morning, all. Yesterday, I had Braille copies distributed of the latest version of the resolutions. Last night, I emailed them to all delegates and to the resolutions committee so that now those with Braille impairments will also have them and will be able to read them. Thank you.
We aim to accommodate. Yes, thank you. Mary.
Okay, got it. Thanks. Yes. Now, good morning, everyone. I'm just going to go through the sponsors again. We did that yesterday. The Braille Authority of New Zealand is really grateful to a number of different organisations and individuals who've really helped considerably. Because of the alphabetical order, the first one is Accessible Information and Communications Limited, which is Clive and Mary. And then, very important to us, Audio Described Aotearoa Limited. You might pick up as the week goes by just how much audio description we're getting in New Zealand, not just on television. In fact, I think we're getting more time on television than even Australia. And they got to audio description ahead of us on TV. And then in addition to that, in addition in New Zealand, we're having a lot of events around the country, audio described. Nicola Owen, who is one of the directors of Audio Described Aotearoa, has just been in Christchurch with the opera, I think. And we are getting ballet and art gallery tours. We're getting a lot of things that, as a lifelong blind person, I thought were only for the sighted. So we're discovering new things all the time. In addition, Bargain City Pakuranga, Belinda Borrow Box, Blind Low Vision Education Network New Zealand, that's Blends, and that's their administration services, and Accessible Format Materials, who did a great deal of the Braille. There's CCS Disability Action Auckland Branch. CCS is one of those organisations that changed its name. It used to be the Crippled Children's Society many years ago. Auckland Co-op Taxis, the Grand Millennium Hotel itself. They've been helping us in lots of different ways. The International Council on English Braille. I'm about to have a conversation with the Treasurer to finalise the contribution to the cost of running this conference. But there's been a lot of generous thinking along the way, and I'm very grateful. Royal New Zealand Foundation of the Blind, that's known as Blind Low Vision NZ, so from there, Accessible Format Services also helped with Braille, Equipment Solutions, Guide Dog Services, Treats for the Dogs, Volunteer Services, PB Technology, Manukau City, The Warehouse, Botany Town Centre, Tiger Turf Asia Pacific, Tactile and Technology Literacy Centre, and Te Pāti Māori. So many thanks to all those groups who have helped us.
That's all of the announcements. Does anyone else have anything they would like to announce, ask, tell, share?
James,
thank you. Hello.
It's more an item of lost property.
Oh, James, you need a microphone, please.
Five.
There we go. It's more an item of lost property. I found a pin badge. I've handed it into reception. The pin badge looks a little bit like a Greek omega cross with a Christian ichthus symbol. I don't know quite what it is, but it's at reception if that belongs to anybody.
Thank you. Anything else?
Golden.
Golden, yes.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. Sorry, just grab the mic. Okay, got it. I just was wanted to clarify. You had mentioned yesterday, I think, or someone had, that there were updated Braille copies of the resolutions. Is that, did I imagine, did I dream that? Oh, they were.
Okay.
I did not get one. Okay.
I have one in my hand that is yours for the retrieval.
Mine for the retrieval. Ready to retrieve.
If you retrieval it, you can have it.
Someone's retrieving it for me.
Thank you. Okay. There you go.
Thank you, Madam President.
Anything else? All right, we will now move on to this morning's agenda, and we will start with in memoriam. So I will recognize Australia.
Thank you. Yep, here we are. Australia recognizes two people this year, this quadrennium. So the ABA would like to celebrate the life of Rebecca Maxwell, educator, inventor, advocate, published writer, and poet. She passed away last year. Rebecca was born in 1940 and became blind at the age of 5 as a result of meningitis. As a young person, she moved to Adelaide. All she wanted to do was become a teacher of sighted children. And at that time, it was very difficult for blind people to gain that kind of qualification. But she went to university and did qualify. She studied as a linguist and as a French teacher. And she was the inventor of a Braille shorthand code known as the Braille User Oriented Code. And Judy reported on that yesterday, as we've published that code on the ICEB website. This utilises linguistic concepts, and it uses the existing grade 2 Braille code, but with a greater shorthand abbreviations, and reduces the bulk of Braille. And it's great for speed reading for fast Braille readers, and helps slower readers become faster. She spent much time in Australia, but also internationally, workshopping BUOC. Rebecca independently published a collection of short stories, biographies featuring blind people, called Blind and Busy, life stories of people who use Braille, and saying it was Australia's contribution to recognise the 200th anniversary of Louis Braille's birth. She's also known as coining the term blindiferous to describe what it means to be blind. And the second person we'd like to acknowledge passed away just last week, so it is with deep service that sadness that I let you know that Dorothy Hamilton, OAM, passed away on the 15th of May at the age of 97. Dorothy was born in the small country town of Rainbow, and she always wanted to teach sighted children music, so that seems to be a common theme. She was the first blind woman in the Southern Hemisphere to obtain a Bachelor of Music degree. Her work at Vision Australia began in transcription as a proofreader on the 8th of August 1977, she told me. She began with a Freeman Stylus and then reluctantly learned to work with the Perkins Brailler. But in the 1990s, she introduced the use of refreshable Braille to music transcription. And this was a process where sighted music proficient volunteers dictate a score to the blind transcriber. And that way they can use refreshable Braille, the Duxbury Braille translator, to correct their own work rather than checking another employee's work. In 1986, the National Braille Music Camp in Australia was established for Braille readers for upper primary and secondary school age students. And Dorothy was one of the key stakeholders in establishing that camp. In the 1990s, Dorothy also attended Braille music conferences, meetings in Germany and Switzerland as Australia's delegate updating the new international manual of Braille music, and her intuitive approach to and an intimate knowledge of the code means that Australians of quite a few generations have had very sensible input into the international decisions in collating the most recent publication of that manual, which still is 1997. Dorothy is a true inspiration to the Braille music community of Australia, but also she's known to people in New Zealand, in Samoa, in Thailand, in Fiji, and people that attended the Braille music camps. So I honour these two women, beautiful women.
Okay, thank you very much, Jordy. Canada?
Thank you. We have some people to honour as well who have died in the last since the last General Assembly and who we would like to honour. I'll start with Ed Paranto, who was a proofreader with CNIB. And then there were five volunteer Braillists, all of them in Canada. Braillist is different than what it is in the UK, so it's basically a transcriber. All of them longtime Braillists who worked for the Braille Room in Toronto with CNIB. Lois Brown, she was, apart from being a Braillist, she was also manager of the Braille Department for the National Library for several years. Shirley Lang, in addition to Brailling regular assignments, Shirley was the volunteer Braille convener, chaired the Braille Conference several times, the CNIB Braille Conference, which is an annual event, and chaired the Toronto Regional Board of the CNIB, and started with the CNIB fundraising lunch that went across the country. Doris Lowe was a Braillist, specialized in print Braille books, and was also a volunteer reader in the CNIB studio, one of the Braille conference organizers, and she also did orientation for new Braille volunteers. Betty Robertson, she specialized in mathematics. The harder the material, the better. So, and that's coming from Darlene, so that is a compliment indeed. And last but not least, Rosemary Sager, a prolific Braillist who also took assignments from Montreal. So able to provide, do some bilingual and do some French transcription as well. So I want to thank Darlene and Debbie for providing that this information. And again, we just want to honor all of these people who've contributed to access to Braille in Canada over the years.
All right, thank you, Canada. Ireland.
Hi, thank you, Judy. Very sadly, Ireland has two colleagues to remember at this assembly, Donald Dygan and Daniel O'Mahony, who before everything else were two really, really nice guys and lovely colleagues to work with. Donald Dygan was a teacher at Rosmini Community College, which is the secondary school just across the road from Child Vision. He was a true Braille and Braille reader advocate, understood the challenges of good Braille production, taught Braille, and led special classes for children with visual impairment. He also transcribed the state exams for many years. I worked a lot with Donal, especially on a working group for the State Examinations Commission, looking at ways to improve exam provision and adaptations for candidates with visual impairment. Having initially considered the priesthood, Donal brought his concern for the well-being of everyone he worked for and worked with to his second and main career. Donal passed away on the 1st of October 2023 after long illness and is survived by his wife and young son. And those of you who attended the midterm exec meeting in Dublin in 2018 might have met Daniel O'Mahony, because he also volunteered as a sighted guide and attended a lot of our sessions. He was an audio engineer by trade, then a Braille transcriber and assistive technology specialist, working at the then National Braille Production Centre and then in reading services. Daniel had a very inventive mind and always thought about ways to make access to information easier for students of all age groups and abilities. He also paved the way for Child Vision to cooperate with assistive technology researchers and companies for the benefits of the students. And after he left Child Vision, he then became the accessibility specialist in a mainstream company. He tragically died on Christmas Day 2023 and is survived by his wife and two teenage children. In our very small Irish Braille community, both are being missed very much, and our thoughts are with Donald's and Daniel's families. Thank you.
Thank you. New Zealand.
Righto. So in memoriam from New Zealand, we would like to remember Julian Lee. He was born in Dunedin, Aotearoa, New Zealand on 11 November 1923. Julian attended the Braille Institute School in Parnell, Auckland. His musical gifts, supported by Braille music, were prodigious. He worked primarily as a jazz arranger and pianist in Aotearoa, New Zealand, the United States, and Australia. In his later years, he was able to inspire young blind musicians in Australia. But he's not Australian. Julian worked for several people who transcribed his arrangements into print. One of these transcribers was Betty Gilmore, the New Zealand music teacher and Braille transcriber at Blends, whose passing we recorded in our 2020 in memoriam. Julian died on 3 December 2020 in Moss Vale, New South Wales. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. South Africa.
Thanks, President, for the term 2020 to 2024, we did not record any person who passed away within the Braille fraternity. That is so great for us. Thank you.
Thank you. United Kingdom.
Thank you. Bill Poole died in January 2021. Known to many of us, Bill served as chair of the Braille Authority of the United Kingdom for many years. His commitment to the rightful place of blind and partially sighted people in society was tireless. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We actually have three more people, and we're going to take it in turns to acknowledge those. The next person is Jim Taylor. I first encountered Jim when I was approached by somebody because Jim needed help with his phone, and they said, would you give him some technology training on his phone? And so I said I would, and I spoke to Jim, and it became very apparent very quickly that he had a real passion for Braille, and in particular, a real passion for Braille music. Completely separately to that, I had a few questions about Braille music and asked one or two people, and they said, oh, well, if anybody would know, Jim Taylor would know, and no, he did. He also had a huge passion for encouraging new people to Braille, worked very closely with RNIB's, I think she was the Braille literacy manager or something at the time, on various Braille courses. Sadly, they didn't make it to publication, but I think some archives of them might exist somewhere. Jim died in August 2021 and is sorely missed in the UK Braille community.
Frank McFarlane was an English teacher at St. Vincent's School for the Blind and Partially Sighted Children in Liverpool for 36 years. He taught many children, including myself, how to read and write Braille, enabling us to study, revise, and ultimately pass our exams in English and other subjects. Mr. McFarlane, or Mr. Mac as we used to call him, also ran the school debating club, teaching us how to use Braille notes for public speaking. He also, along with the late Mr. Wilson, remembered at the 2020 General Assembly, taught students the Braille chess code. He was also a visiting lecturer for the QTVI course at Birmingham University. Away from education, Frank was an excellent sportsman. I vividly remember in our classroom a huge tactile cricket pitch, obviously complete with Braille labels for the various fielding positions. Frank was a capable musician, played organ for his church, and would regularly lead a sing-song on the piano in the bar. Frank passed away peacefully on the 12th of February 2022, aged 77, and he leaves behind his wife Julia, daughter Susan, and granddaughter Tia.
And Mike Townsend, known to many here, passed away in November 2023, quite tragically, while he was away on a cruise. Mike was involved with all sorts of organisations at various levels and committees, even chairing some. RNIB, the British Computer Association for the Blind, as it was known then, now the Technology Association for Visually Impaired People, and UCAF, of course, and the Tort Trust for the Blind, which is an organisation which promotes and distributes Christian literature in alternative formats. Nobody can doubt that whatever Mike did, he was very enthusiastic about it. He will be missed. Thank you.
Thank you all. United States.
Good morning. Okay. The United States would like to remember six people. First, John Boyer, who was born blind and lost his hearing as a child. He was one of the original founders and lead programmers of LibLui, International Open Source Braille Translation Library, now used in many Braille applications and devices worldwide. We'd like to remember Robert Brasher, who began his career as a teacher at the Arkansas School for the Blind and later worked for the Arkansas State Department of Education. He came to the American Printing House, APH, as Director of Advisory Services, became Vice President of Products and Services at APH, and supported many projects related to Braille and the education of children who are blind or visually impaired. And he last led the Department of Educational Research before his retirement. We'd like to remember Tina Davidson, who was a member of the BANA Music Committee for many years. David Holliday, known to many in this room, who worked on early Braille translator word processing software, started allowing blind people to use Apple computers to enter, edit, and translate text. He started a software company called Raised.Computing that many of you may know of in 1981, partially to help Apple computer interface for his wife Karen Navy's VersaBraille system. And he had gone to MIT and as a programmer, and later developed Megadots, which is one of the first Braille translation programs as well. Raised.Computing became a nonprofit organization, became Braille Planet, and was acquired in 1999 by Duxbury Systems, and then he worked for Duxbury for many years. many of you may be familiar with Kathleen Huebner, Kathy Huebner, who worked for the American Foundation for the Blind for many years, and Salus University. Kathy was one of the driving forces behind the monumental hand-in-hand project. It was a set of materials, one of the first big collections of materials for teaching children who are deafblind. And those materials were used for many years. She was also one of the driving forces behind the National Center on Leadership for the Visually Impaired, NCLVI, which was a grant from the U.S. Department of Education for doctoral studies for universities that had personnel preparation programs. And many of us are quite grateful for Kathy and others in the NCLVI project for allowing us to get our doctorates many years ago. But Kathy was involved in many educational initiatives for children who are blind and deafblind. And lastly, we would like to remember Scott LaBarre, who championed the cause of Braille and other accessible books for many years, was a leader in the long and successful campaign securing the Marrakesh Treaty, and he served on the DAISY board until his death, his passing.
Let's observe a moment of silence so we can remember all of those people. Thank you. Yes, sir. Chivani? Yeah. Three.
Thank you. President, I would want to just be advised or to be taught the personal preparation program. What is it all about? It sounds very interesting, Chivani.
Marinelle, I think, RFM.
Those are the university programs in the United States that train teachers of children with visual impairments. That's just the term that we use to describe those teacher preparation programs. So, and there are, I don't know how many in the United States.
How many of them are there? Quite a half a dozen or
oh,
so?
Oh, no, there's fewer than half the states have one, but they're probably, what,
37? Oh, wow.
Thank you. 37 programs in the United States that have programs that train teachers of the visually impaired and orientation
mobility specialists. Actually, Callie, you're probably as close to this as any of us.
Yeah. Well, yes, and Callie, and I think Tina.
Do anybody want to say any more about it?
Chris, there are four of us here, I think, personnel prep, right?
Personnel prep. You know, thank you for asking that question, and I do want to say that, we're all here from different environments, different cultures, different countries, different... And so if you hear a term that you don't understand or somebody references something and you think it's of interest to all of us, that's a good example of a term that other people might not know, and it's of interest to all of us that such programs exist. So, please ask. We'll take the time to explain those things as we go.
Thank you.
DeAndrea.
DeAndrea, yes.
As Secretary of ICEB, I would please request each country to email the ICEB Executive Committee listserv with the names and biographical information that you shared here this morning so that I can reflect them in the minutes.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else? All right. Mary, you're up.
Right.
Well, good morning again, everyone. Mary Schnackenberg on behalf of the Bylaws Committee. One of the things we need to think about is whether or not to change its name to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. But in any event, it's at the moment the Bylaws Committee. Now, President Judy and the Executive Committee appointed me, Mary Schnackenberg, to chair the Bylaws Committee for the 2020-2024 term. Other members of the Bylaws Committee are Paul Brown from New Zealand, Christo de Klerk from South Africa, Judy Dixon in her role as ex officio president, Jen Goulden from Canada, Ntshavheni Netshetuni from South Africa, and Ilka Steglin from Ireland. The first problem we had was to deal with the constitutional amendments proposed at 2020. There was a bit of a problem in that they weren't circulated in advance by the required 60 days. So we did something at the General Assembly that we did yesterday, which was to agree to get the delegates to vote on the constitution. And that happened by the 30th of November, and so the constitution that we're looking at for changes was last revised at the 30th of November 2020. And it's interesting to me anyway that this Friday, the 31st of May, is the 33rd anniversary of the adoption of the first constitution of the International Council on English Braille, and you will see that in the list of all the dates. So during the term we worked on the constitution, we've distributed the two different documents for discussion, and just to alarm or relieve everybody, I've got a great fat pile of Braille that includes the Constitution with amendments if you have questions. However, I am hopeful that you have taken the time and the opportunity to have a good look at the Constitution. We sent it out in, I think it was the 12th of February, and asked for comments by the 15th of March so that we could have a chance to make any final adjustments. The people voting on the Constitution today are delegates, and we're hopeful that you have had a good old read, and that if you have any questions, you can ask them now. Otherwise, I would be really pleased to request someone to move and second that the revisions to the Constitution be adopted. There's a list of 26 of them, but they fall into categories of primarily tidying up with a couple of new things. So,
would you like to go through them at least at a high level, just to
okay, just hang on a second till I find the magic page. Let me see. Yeah, there's quite a conversation about changing language. So, during the term we changed the order of the clauses in the bylaws to align with the Constitution. And we also updated the bylaws to help us with other aspects of membership. And I'm just looking through to find the constitutional details at high level. And at the second, I have to... here we go. We're getting there. It's a big pile of pages. Right, in the Constitution, in summary, 2024, there are 7 types of amendments with 26 recommended changes. The global change, switch the numbering of sub-articles within the articles from a muddlement of digits and letters to digits only. Global change of nation to country in the singular and the plural, providing consistency as both nation and country had been used in the Constitution. Another global change, when a task or event is about to occur prior to or after a specified meeting, refer to calendar days. Both months and days have previously been used. And my thanks to Roger Furman, who drew my attention to an Excel provision for months, as well as the days provision that I'm quite used to. The second change is to shift 2 sub-articles in Article 4 to do with rights and responsibilities, so we just moved some things around there. The third change is to insert headings after sub-articles that didn't have headings. The fourth change is to add words to clarify the meaning in some sub-clauses, in some sub-articles. The fifth change is 2 new sub-articles in Article 4.1, full membership, one dealing with cessation of full membership and the other dealing with appeal against the cessation of full membership. And our thanks to Paul Brown to help us with that. The sixth change is a new sub-article 6.6.5 to give the Executive Committee the power to meet face-to-face under exceptional circumstances between meetings of the General Assembly in addition to the midterm Executive Committee meeting. The seventh and final change is a deletion of one sub-article in Article 8, which is about finances. The sub-article has not been followed by either the current or the previous Treasurer as technologies and the international banking system change. It's better to give each Treasurer the space to work with the Executive Committee to find the most effective way to carry out the business of the Treasurer for the benefits of ICEB. So there's plenty of changes, and we're keen to shift things to the bylaws that need to be changed between meetings of the General Assembly. The process agreed between the Treasurer and the Executive Committee should be recorded in the bylaws. And then I go through the list of 26 recommendations. If you wish me to go through those, I can. I have located them, but that gives you, I hope, some idea of what changes we had proposed. Are there any questions? There appear to be no questions. Can I ask a delegate to move the adoption of the Constitution as circulated to delegates?
Maria, New Zealand.
New Zealand, Maria moves.
Canada will second.
Canada, Jen will second. Just a last call for any questions or any concerns. Then I will put the resolution. All those in favour that the Constitution as circulated be adopted, say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. And particular thanks not only to the members of the Bylaws Committee, but we had some incredibly intuitive and thoughtful comments from all sorts of places and people. And a special thanks to each of you. If I start naming individuals, I'll leave somebody important out. So thank you very much for all your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. We are running ahead once again. I suppose it's better to be running ahead than running behind, but it does present us with a unique set of challenges. So if she is prepared, I'd like to call on Maria to do the public relations report. And then we can take a little bit of time to talk about promotion of ICEB, promotion of Braille. Are there things ICEB should be doing that we're not doing? Are there things we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? So prepare yourself if you have thoughts about that, if you want to share something you're doing that you didn't share yesterday, or anything else about the whole topic of promotion of it. I mean, it's important that we stay in our own lane, and I've been a real advocate of that since I've been president. But on the other hand, you know, we're all about Braille, and that we need to put our Braille foot forward whenever we can. Maria, are you ready?
As I'll ever be, I think, Judy.
Okay.
So, public relations report. The public relations report. The committee was established following the 2016 ICEB General Assembly. It's responsible for telling the world about the policies, decisions and activities of ICEB. Following an amendment to the ICEB Constitution in 2020, the committee is now a permanent committee, which reflects the important and ongoing nature of its work. The Public Relations Committee 2024 up till now, I'd like to acknowledge all of these people who have done a lot more in this committee than I have. I'm on a name only. I haven't had as much input as I should have or could have. Jen Goulden, Canada. Natalie Martinello, Canada. Stuart Lawler, Ireland. Renette Popplestone, South Africa, sadly passed away in 2019. Sue Riley, United States. Mike Townsend, England, sadly passed away in November 23. Leona Holloway, Australia. Mary Schnackenberg, New Zealand, and myself. The working committees of ICEB are Code Maintenance, UEB Technical Committee, Braille Technology, Constitution and Bylaws, Finance, Music, Public Relations, and Research. Observers are always welcome to join any of these working groups. And we talk about the ICEB Facebook page in February 2017. The ICEB Facebook is located at, you'll find it in your notes. I can't make that noise. At last count, there were 727 Facebook followers. I wish to thank Natalie for the support she has generously provided to enable Facebook to continue to grow and share articles around Braille. The ICEB Twitter account, again, you'll find it, established in May 2016 at the commencement of the ICEB General Assembly. At last count, ICEB Twitter had 437 followers. I wish to acknowledge Jen Goulden for the tweets she has shared around the importance of Braille today and into the future. Jen is also venturing into the world of Mastodon, and I don't know much about that. Then we talk about the ICEB Announce group, and also, I'll skip some of this, but just to mention, the first newsletter was produced in December 2018. Since then, it has been produced and distributed quarterly in March, June, September, and December. The newsletter is stored on the ICEB website. Each edition includes a mix of ICEB news, UEB FAQs, and tech test yourself news from the broader Braille community and upcoming events. We thank all our contributors and everyone who helps with ideas, proofreading, and production. Mary Schnackenberg continues to ensure that the content and the newsletters are sent out, complete with interesting and thought-provoking articles, and I truly appreciate all the work she does for ICEB. If you haven't received the received a newsletter from the list, please subscribe. And the ICB, we talk about the ICB website, and we look forward to hearing news. I'm just skipping some of this because you've all got the report, who had wanted it. Just in conclusion, as we celebrate 200 years of Braille and the way it has evolved from the slate and stylus through to files being embossed from computers and files being read on refreshable Braille devices, please take a moment to remember Louis Braille and the gift he has given to so many Braille readers worldwide to enable each of us to live our lives the way we wish. Thank you. Any questions?
Who was that? Golden. Okay.
Four. I was gonna, sorry, you all just needed me yelling at you, waking you up. Not to imply that we were sleeping. I just wanted to say that I'm doing some live, here and there, live, like tweeting and posting. So just to kind of, I forgot to mention that earlier, but I'm doing that.
We've seen you on Facebook.
Yeah, you can. Hold on a second.
Yes, and Natalie is from.
Okay, and Natalie, are you, Clive, can you let Natalie speak, please?
I am here, and I believe others have also been posting to the Facebook because I've seen a couple of other posts as well.
Yes, Leona?
Two? Yep. Okay, it's Leona. I'm the sneaky one who's been posting to Facebook and a little bit to Twitter as well. And I'd like to take some photos of people because we do get more response from people when there are images. So be warned, I'll come and visit you. Thank you.
It's better find a good day. All right, Mary?
Just to let you know, it's Mary, that the registration form did ask whether people wanted their pictures taken or not, and everybody was fine with it. Leona.
Under duress.
it's Mary again. I just want to comment on the newsletter. It's actually not been coming out quarterly. Sorry, Maria, I didn't actually check the report before it went down. I haven't pushed out as many newsletters as I should have, and I apologise for that, because every time I start to do the newsletter, I think, goodness, this is fantastic. And the newsletter is not me. The newsletter is all your contributions, different committee chairs, and above all, behind the scenes, I've had incredible support from Leona. All of us, each of us, has been supported by one or more many sighted people who have kind of been incredibly fast at whatever you ask them to do. And so Leona, among the myriad things that she is doing, has come back to me within kind of minutes, really, with updates and corrections to the newsletter, because that newsletter's got to look right visually. It has to sound well aloud. It's got to read well under the fingers. And so it's meeting a range of different audiences, and we have to get that right. And as one of the fixes, I had a problem with Braille for the newsletter to do with Unicode characters and ASCII Braille, and what's going on here? And it wasn't reading properly with the screen reader. And so it was an accident in one of the newsletters early on that led ICEB to take the decision to switch from using the American ASCII code to switch to using Unicode, because the screen readers were reading the Braille dots properly. And I am really pleased that that is just one of the incidental accidents of life that has really improved not just the newsletter, but the rule book, probably the guidelines for technical formats and material, sorry, and whatever all else we're putting out. So my special thanks to Leona, my apologies to all of you for not getting enough newsletters. And also one of the things I've picked up is that there's a lot of material turning up in the media about Braille, and some of the articles in the media are really quite thoughtful. And there's one that hopefully that may run in the next newsletter that came out of The Guardian, of all places, and talks about various names that, such as Graham Innes that we know, but talking about people who are using Braille differently today from what they needed it for when we were children. And so that doesn't mean that we need Braille less. It means that we're using it differently. So I think that the newsletter is an opportunity to pick up the media, the odd media articles that are coming through, as well as making sure that it looks good visually and works well in Braille and sounds good if you're using speech to read it. So thank you very much, Leona, for your help.
Debbie?
Yes. For the people who are listening on the stream, does someone want to voice the Facebook and X pages where people can post if they so choose to do so?
Thank you. Yes, Natalie, do you want to tell us where ICB is on Facebook?
The easiest way to locate the ICB page on Facebook is to just write International Council on English Braille in the search field, and you'll see the page come up.
For Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it, and also for Mastodon, actually, they're the same. It's ICEB Braille, but so it's ICEB in all caps, and then Braille all in lowercase, and it's all one word.
Is it spelled out Braille or BRL?
Good, thank you. It's BRAILLE. So it's
ICEB BRAILLE.
Yes.
With ICEB in uppercase and Braille in lowercase.
And that's Twitter and
Twitter, yeah, and Master. Yeah, they're both the same.
Okay. Thank you. We are going to be having a major. Let me say a bit about the website. I've been looking after the website for the last 4 years, and I will totally acknowledge that it has. I haven't done any reorganizing in particular. I've just been kind of adding to it in the most logical place I can find. So it's grown, and it's a bit fragmented at this point. That's the best way to put it. It needs attention. I get that, and I guess now that we don't have any more nominations, I don't know if we can assume who is going to be the new officers or not. But we're going to go ahead and do that just because it's expeditious to do so. If we have a coup or something at the last minute, we'll deal with it. But Stuart Lawler will be our new public relations officer, and I told Stuart it's not his job to do everything, but it's his job to find people to do everything. So we are looking for people who are very interested in this area. If you know someone in your country who's a Braille person who's into these things and wants to get more involved with ICEB, we need a newsletter editor. We need a website manager. We'd like to get the website. Stuart and I have talked about getting the website redone, perhaps putting it into WordPress. Stuart, yes, I'd love to hear from you. Please speak.
Thanks. Thanks, Judy, and good morning again, everyone. Yeah, just to kind of come back on what Judy has said, we've talked a little bit about the website. We do have somebody here who did a website for our own InBAF website here in Ireland who I've been chatting with Judy about, and maybe a good fit for ICEB. But one of the things we'd like to do is allow the committee chairs, for example, to manage their own pages on the website and manage their own content. And it might make it a little more dynamic and a little easier to keep updated. So I'd love to, you know, as we go on to the next kind of 4 years, I'd love to hear from people on your thoughts around the website, the newsletter, and any other ways that we should be, I suppose, getting out there to talk about Braille to the world at large. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think we're doing a lot, and we could certainly do what we do better. So we're not really in a position to take on more until we can do what we're doing as well as we can do it. Hope that all made sense. So, we're doing good things, and we do have a website. We do have social media presence. We're you know, not quite so Neanderthal as living in the dark ages and not having the modern thing. I kind of encouraged Mastodon only because it's at least in the many of the organizations are also on Mastodon, and it's, you know, yes, it's somewhat of a backlash to Twitter, but it is what it is. So, but all that's a good thing, and having a newsletter and having a informative website is also a good thing. So these are all good, but we need to maintain them, and it takes effort and it takes person power, and we need more person power. That is a big issue of ours. It's something, I suppose, it's something we constantly strive for, but some of you may know of people or yourself, you might find yourself with a little bit of extra time to do that. Any comments on this or more discussion?
McLennan,
yes.
May I come up there?
Please speak. You may do, or you can speak from there if you wish.
I don't want to have to reach over.
Okay.
I have an invitation.
Oh.
It's a good time for me
sure.
To do this.
Yep.
I came up to the front. I'd like to issue an invitation to every one of you and for the people you represent to consider publication of your work or your ideas, your conversations through a new journal that has been created by the Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired. That's AER in the States and in Canada. It's actually international. We have members and chapters around the world. But the journal that was created is an actual, it's sort of like we're breathing life and some new life into a journal that was originally called Education of the Visually Handicapped, and that was in the 30s or the 50s. And it became a journal called Review and was published for more than 30 years, but for financial reasons and others, it was discontinued in 2008. So let me tell you a little bit about Review and now about the new Review. It was a practitioner-focused journal. It really went hand in hand with the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness, published by the American Foundation of the Blind and for the blind. And JVIB, that journal, is really the seminal research journal in our world in for visual impairment blindness research. But Review, which had been discontinued in 2008, was a practitioner journal. It based its information and its articles on the results and the application of the research that had been done, and it also involved perspectives and success stories of people who were actually in the trenches teaching children or working with adults who are visually impaired or have blindness. So what we have done, a series of seven, well, actually there were seven of us, who in 2019 had an idea. Well, actually, I got a phone call and said, would you join us for this thought process? Well, fool-like, I said yes. And it began as a conversation that we no longer have a place for the practitioners, those people who are actually delivering the services to write and to publish. And we felt like that was a big missing chunk for our profession. So that conversation led to some ideas that led to some research that led to a dream that led to 4 years of hard work. We started from the ground up, no infrastructure, and now we have a functioning practitioner journal called The New Review, a Journal of Practice. And I invite you, and we've already had one conversation here about publishing. So in the New Review, which we call TNR for short, and I just as an aside, I realized that in the world of animal rescue, that means trap, neuter, release, but we still call it TNR. Anyway, okay, I'll pull it back together. Yes, it is. So we promise not to do that to anybody. But I want to tell you a little bit about what we publish, what we do. It is a double anonymous peer-reviewed journal. It goes through all the same steps of JVIB or any other professional journal that is peer-reviewed. We have a whole cadre of peer reviewers. We work through an electronic portal. Everything is accessible. But the manuscripts are submitted. We do a technical check just to make sure all the pieces are there. Then that is assigned to an assistant editor. That assistant editor works with peer reviewers who provide the feedback. The associate editor provides the feedback to the author. And we continue until, and usually one revision is all it takes. We've had some that have to be revised twice in order to make it clear, efficient, understandable, and publishable. And so we are now finishing our third issue, and it will be released this summer, or actually in early June, and will be a centerpiece at AER's International Conference in July. Just a couple more things about it. There are five categories, well, actually seven, but there are five categories of which we invite your writing. We have, in the area of actual practice, we have practice reflections. And that is an opportunity for a practitioner to write about a practice for which they believe was successful, for which they can document success with a student or a client. We also have practice reports. Those usually are a little bit more like some research that would have probably have a IRB, you know, a human subjects review. And so we have those two practice. Then we also have research reports, which really are reports of research that has implication for people who are teaching or in rehabilitation. We also have guest perspectives, and those are 5,000-word pieces in which people provide their perspectives on what we do. It could be on Braille, it could be Braille instruction, it can be orientation and mobility, any of the things that go into the services we provide. We also have a short, brief column for views from the field. And it would be, we were just talking last night, and I encouraged someone to write one just about a perspective, your view of what's happening. It would be a great place for ICEB to get some visibility, to get the word out, and to begin a dialogue with a lot of these professionals that deliver services through AER. And then we also have a category for book reviews, and we've had several really good book reviews. So I'm here. I'm Vice Chair Banna, and I'm with the delegation. I'll be here till we put the cat out, and I will be I'm here through the end of the meeting, I should say. Sorry, that was my flip back into my Tennessee lingo. So I invite you to come talk to me about it. I have a card that has our website and how to get in touch with us. I can provide you with the submission guidelines or any other thing I can do to encourage you to speak to our profession through the new review. Thanks very much. Any questions?
Who's that?
Dylan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Microphone six.
Oh, thanks, Mary. That's really exciting. I just didn't catch the AER, what that stood for. I didn't quite catch what
A. Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind.
It's our professional association in the States and in Canada. It's actually international. It started in Canada and the U.S. It's Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired.
And that name was picked by a competition.
Well, no wonder I didn't catch it.
Say it again.
I'm usually I'm seldom ever told to be loud-er. So we have our international conference that happens biannually, and that will be in July in Charlotte, North Carolina. But AER is the professional association, and I'm the representative from AER to the BANA, to the Braille Authority in North America. So. Anything else? I'm here. Pin me down.
I believe so. Many of you have heard my rant about the field, but because every time somebody talks about our field, I say, I live in this field. You know, I sleep among these rocks and on this grass. I don't know. I don't feel like it's my field. I feel like it's my life. You know. I don't know. DeAndrea.
I feel it's my life too. So.
Well, good. We'll make you an honorary blind person.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You too could. That's why we don't think about print. We're used to being around people like FM.
I was just writing to my. This is FM again. Writing to my students last night because I'm teaching class while I'm here in New Zealand, and. This summer, I'm teaching the communications course and how to teach Braille reading and writing to children. And I was telling them about our discussions yesterday and just the reminder of the importance of being a teacher and how important it is to promote literacy for all. As our keynote speaker said yesterday, I wished all of my students had been in the room at the time that he was speaking. So I hope that...
I have received the word version of that speech, and I will be sharing it with all of you. And as Jonathan said, we also have the audio version, so he said we're free to share it. But make sure you keep ICEB's name on it, because I want ICEB to be associated with it. That's great. One thing that has completely dazzled me when it comes to Braille teaching in the last few years is the work done by the Braillists Foundation, especially during the pandemic. They had these online Zoom, I actually signed up for it and they let me do it, the online Zoom learning for Braille beginners, and I did not think it was possible to teach Braille over Zoom, and yet they managed to do it, and they managed to do it really well. I mean, obviously not everybody learned Braille, but some people did. And I participated in they have these reading groups for they call them book clubs, but Matthew's right, they're really reading groups, for beginners. And I participated in the ones for beginners. It is so impressive. I mean, it's amazing. It reminded me of being in third grade and being in a reading group, and you know, everybody takes turn reading and people help each other. And it was amazing. And I think, Marinelle, get Matthew or to get somebody to write about their Zoom teaching of Braille, because it's absolutely incredible. Dave Williams on Zoom. Dave, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of quick things. If, like me, you're a bit impatient to get a copy of Jonathan Mosen's presentation from yesterday, he has put it on his website, mosen.org/ICEB2024, mosen.org/ICEB2024. The full text and the audio is there, and he's posted that on social media. Braillists Foundation, you know, some of the things you were talking about just then about the reading groups and the beginners courses, sort of necessity was the mother of invention. And actually the pandemic in many ways was the making of us, because we recognized that there were people out there wanting to learn Braille, but doing so in isolation. And so, you know, we tried to do what we could at the Braillists Foundation to offer peer support, accountability, regular meetings, and ultimately hard copy resources that we were able to send out in the UK, at least. And we had some international help with getting that distributed elsewhere. We were recognised as well with an award in the UK. So there is a Prime Minister's Point of Light Award, and I received the award on behalf of our team of volunteers who every week work tirelessly to deliver all that content and peer support and organise all the events. And so I don't know how often our Braille organisations, particularly small grassroots Braille organisations, are recognised by our Prime Ministers, but I was very proud to accept that on behalf of all our volunteers, not least of which people like Matthew Horswell, who have been incredible in supporting those Braille learners. And yes, we would be very happy to write a...
Oh, thanks, Clive, I heard you. You were also recognised with a Touch of Genius Award from the National Braille Press, and just because you're so incredible.
Thank you.
Debbie Gillespie?
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to also perhaps, I know Daphne Hitchcock, the delegate, is from the Braille Literacy Foundation. No, sorry, Daphne. Braille Literacy Canada. And they have a Braille Symposium every year, and Braille Cast Braille's Foundation have presented. So perhaps, Daphne, you could talk about the symposium and some of the workshops that Braille Literacy Canada does. But this is a perfect example, guys, of sharing information, learning information. We're all together in this room, but a lot of people don't know. We're not very good at dissemination. And I think, Mary Nell, you got to crack the whip on all of us, kind of, because Leona, you too. Because honestly, we're not good at putting ourselves out there. And it isn't that you have to beat the drum and drum up members. It's based on research. It's based on scientific fact. It's based on peer reviews. It's based on a lot of things. I will digress before you go forward, Daphne, that during our process of the nominations committee, we spoke to a lot of people, and a lot of people knew of ICEB, but they didn't know a lot about it. And, you know, it's one of these things we're not good at, but it's not just about promoting ourselves. It is bringing in new people. We don't have the avenues that we used to have when there were so many more agencies in the field where you could readily go and pluck the people you want, where many of us came from, and then you're set for life. It's not like that anymore. So it's more imperative now. But We don't just want to shuffle the deck every 4 years, right, guys? We want to bring in people who have something to contribute, and those people bring in others. So I know I sound like a salesman, but I'm sorry, but it's just, it's one of those things that really hit home to us on the nominations committee. So I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to hand it off to the president, and she can decide where to go from here. Thank you.
The challenge for us is that many people think Braille codes are boring. And you know, we can either talk about something else, which is just Braille in all its glory, or we can talk about, we can figure out ways to make Braille codes more exciting. And I think we can do both of those things. But I mean, that is part of the problem. Daphne, would you like to tell us about the Braille Symposium? Thank you.
I'm on four. Thank you. Yes, the Braille Symposium, it was started in 2020, and it is a back-to-back presentation of four speakers starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and ending at 5 p.m. The idea is to give people a taste of what is happening around the world with Braille, and we all know how dynamic Braille is and how many wonderful programs are happening around the world. And so our committee has reached out to people that have something to talk about and to share globally. The last 3 years of presentations are now available on our website, which is I'm blanking, Braille Literacy, yes, BrailleLiteracyCanada.ca. So it's Braille Literacy Canada, all one word, all completely spelled out with no contractions. Those past presentations are there, and this year we're really excited. We have a wonderful lineup of speakers, and the date is on June 14th. Registration is currently open, and our presentations will begin with, we'll be ending with Jordi Howell from Australia, and Jordi will be presenting on the developments of the world of music. Jennifer Ottowitz from the USA will be presenting on approaches to teaching Braille to adults. Adam Wilton, also from Canada, will be presenting on strategies for supporting emergent Braille readers. And Peter Tuzik from HumanRare is going to be talking about the Monarch display, Braille, and tactile graphics. Concurrently, at the 1 o'clock presentation on... or at 1 o'clock when Jennifer will be presenting. We are having a bilingual, it will be in French, a presentation on perspectives of Braille music in French in Canada. So it will be a panel discussion. Our very own Jen Golden is one of the contributors to that panel. But we extend an invitation to everybody here. When you go to register, you will be asked for payment. If you are from a country away from Canada and the U.S., the payment is completely waived because it's such a pain to do. Yes. And the registration is nominal. It's $20. So it is... Please come. Last year we had about 150 from around the world, and it was, well, I'm getting goosebumps because it was just so exciting to see people from everywhere there, and we're all talking about something near and dear to our heart, Braille, and 4 hours of Braille just flew by in no time, so please come.
What's the date again?
June 14th.
June 14th.
Starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and ending at 5 p.m. Each presentation, half an hour, and time for questions.
It's only 5 a.m. in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jen was just reminding me that the information about the symposium is in the Canadian report. If it isn't, then we will Twitterize it.
I'll do that too.
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to share that. And thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else have anything to share? Who's that?
Frances Gentle, yes. Observer from Australia. I was just thinking about the promotion of ICEBE. As you know, Josie Howes and I will be talking about the UEB online website. We have 150 countries doing UEB online, and I think what the one thing is, people don't know what they don't know. So a lot of people don't know about ICEBI, so they don't make their way to the website and the Facebook page and Twitter X. And I would very much like just a general information sheet that we could just distribute to all the thousands and thousands of people that have accessed the website. There's obviously a great interest in UEB, and for many countries they're learning English as a second language, and it's a free, so they can learn UEB because there's a free online option. So that's just something I think would be really beneficial, and we could distribute that across the many thousands of people in those countries.
I think we have it, and in our next section, part of that session, we're going to have an open discussion about ICEB membership, and I will tell you more about fact sheets and things like that. All right. All right, I think we will break now, and we will return at 10:30. Thank you.